I'm Bill Teeple, and I'm here with Alan Cobb and Donna Colby, and this is Icon Art Radio.
Icon Art Radio.
Icon Art Radio.
Art Radio.
Icon Art Radio.
All right. Well, that's a good way to start today's discussion because...
Let's get serious.
We're going to let Donna talk about one of her favorite subjects, but we're going to relate it to art. Baseball.
I grew up in a family that was very baseball oriented because we had in our backyard, not every backyard we had, but this one particular backyard, which was large and flat, my father built a baseball diamond and a backstop and everything. And it was the one activity that the entire family would engage in every day. After dinner, we'd go out in the, you know, during the summer season, go out in the backyard and play usually wiffle ball because we didn't want to put a hard ball through the neighbor's windows and so forth. And people in the neighborhood would all come over, all of the people of all ages, the parents and the kids, boys and girls. And we would often have more than 9 people on the teams because it didn't really matter. And so I have this, it's the whole nostalgia hormone thing where it was such a pleasant experience from childhood that I can't help but have this wonderful, magical relationship to baseball ever since. And every year I have not followed baseball, but this year, for some reason, I happen to be not able to get enough of it. It's just every time I go home and eat my dinner, I turn on the television and hope that there's a baseball game on. I don't care who's playing. It's just... And so I'm fascinated by what exactly it is that's making me feel this way and love it so much. As a sport, to me, it feels more artistic, maybe just because I know more about it than the other sports. But I think partially it's because when you're watching a baseball game, especially when you're watching it on television, you see so much more of it because they're standing still more often than they are in other sports. So the camera can go really close up on the hands or the glove or the face of the person at bat or the face of the person just after they've made the catch, the amazing catch, and so on. And also there are so many different aspects to it that are isolated from each other. So like in soccer or football, there's all this stuff going on all at the same time, and you don't know what to look at. Whereas in baseball, it's just, you know, there's the pitch that happens and then the swing of the bat that happens and then the ball is traveling and then you watch the catch. So you get to just home in on all of these isolated artistic events that are going on in the baseball game that can be done with such beauty and precision and emotion. So...
A pitch, a crack, the ball flies back, a swift dispatch, a clever catch, quicken your pace and race for base. You're safe. You're out. Oh, hear us shout for baseball.
That's cool. What was that from? That worked for me.
That was the baseball song from my grade school, British boys' school in New York, where they had written these almost Gilbert and Sullivan-esque songs for the different sports, for breezy spring to glowing fall. What is the game that's made for all? It is the game of baseball, bump, or something like that. I forget the rest of the lyrics.
That's pretty cool.
But it's interesting. To me, baseball... Well, let me just start by saying I think that it does have a lot to do with how familiar you are with the game. Because a football game is really very much stop and start, and there isn't, in a sense, all that much happening at once. And people who are into football, I think, see it as a very elegant, refined thing.
Right. Yeah.
And soccer is very, very interesting. Once you know what the rules are and what the different people are allowed to do on the field and how far they're allowed to go and so forth. Cricket maybe is a bit different when you think of it taking 3 or 4 days to finish the game. Right. But if you really like it, gosh, what could be better? You could go out on the pitch for the better part of a week before you have to put away your hot dogs and go home. But I think it's funny that you picked baseball, because my childhood memories of baseball are that was the time when I went slightly mad at home, because it was Sunday and everybody was listening to this fuzzy roar on the radio. if I were to hear Mel Allen's voice over the distant hash of a crowd at Yankee Stadium over a bad radio connection, I would just have to leave the room. The nostalgic feeling for me is one of things that drove me to do some of the most outrageous deeds of my early youth, just to escape from this mountainous boredom of the Sunday Times, which was so big you could barely pick it up. And all the adults are like sitting there in silence, reading the New York, rustling the paper, and some Verschluggener baseball game going on. And every now and then, people bursting into conversation. My mother and my older brother loved and hated, respectively, the Yankees. And so they would argue for a minute or two about some name, and, you know, Phil Rizzuto and these names from the past that were drummed into me in this world, this bubble of absolute boredom that couldn't have been greater. And Sunday just was ruined by that. It was like, come on, tomorrow is school again. Let's do something interesting today. We got to wait till we finish the game. And we have to wait till we finish the paper. And so it was the paper and the game for hours. And baseball games can last an inordinately long time.
See, we never listened to
you. And
then
a doubleheader. Oh, great. Yeah. All day, morning till night, we'll just sit there and stare at the wall.
I don't think we ever listened to it on the radio. I don't remember ever listening to it on the radio. I remember actually going to, because we lived in cities that had minor league teams. Rochester, New York, for example, had a minor league team that was very good. And so we would actually go as a family and watch the baseball games in the, you know, where you have the hot dogs and the smells and the sounds.
Yeah,
and all
that's
that.
An experience.
It's completely
like
a
completely fulfilling family experience in the context of baseball.
Right. So that's the... And that's what we discovered. We had a soiree discussion at Flying Leap about sports and, you know, our relationship to it on the evening of the World Cup game. And there were people there who weren't sports fans at all and other people who were. And it basically boiled down to exactly what you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Our childhood experiences were different. Yeah. And the ones who had this great, you know, the ones of us in the room who had this great fond feeling for them were people who had great childhood experiences around. In fact, one person who was there, Raven Garland was there, and she had been on a girls' basketball team where the average height was 5'2", and they were like really good because they could dribble and pass underneath the radar, you know, so to speak, of the taller people. And that was a great story. So she has this fondness for basketball because she had that experience of good experience of being on that team.
Well, for me it was just that we did things as a family except when baseball intruded.
So that was
instead of doing things.
But you weren't really a sports guy to begin
with.
I never
much liked them.
I was a sports guy.
I enjoyed more solitary sports like tennis, but that didn't do me very well because nobody cared about tennis then in those days. Well, I did a little bit, but not very much.
And you were an athlete, weren't you, Bill? Weren't you into sports?
Yeah, I liked sports, but I liked everything and I always have liked everything. So that's it's not outside my character. It's a matter of what...
I like broccoli.
Well, there may be a piece of food I don't like, but in any case, I've found everything fascinating and interesting. If I had 1,000 lives to live, I think I would just love to live each one of them and enjoy all the different things. So when I was young, I grew up in that atmosphere of sports, but So every weekend I would go to my friend's house and they'd all be into sports since we would watch games and things like that. So I was into it. But I think I most got off on the spectacle of Major League Baseball because I would go to Dodger Stadium and I would follow the Dodgers and all of the nuances of everything going on. But to go to the big league stadium with the lights and the grass and the uniforms and the famous people right there. Yeah. I mean, it was loaded.
I enjoyed that too. It's just that we didn't usually go. I mean, when I was really young, we didn't go into New York to Yankee Stadium or Dodger Stadium, I guess. And then when they moved out of New York and, it was a whole different thing. I went to one or two stadium games, football and baseball in L.A. But then it was getting so expensive that you had to really want to go. It was you're spending $200 for the day.
It wasn't like that when I went.
No, it wasn't admission.
But and all that. Yeah, it was pretty not much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real elitist kind of thing, and I don't know how anybody ever goes to games anymore.
Yeah, I haven't been for 30 years or more, and so I don't know where it's gone.
But the community of it, is
and that's what you like, and Jim Weidel likes, I believe, minor league baseball.
Yeah, and I could see how that's like the old days. Yeah, and you get to know the players, and you get to. See your friends and neighbors.
I think my example was because I was a girl, my mom adored baseball. And so it wasn't just like the guy's thing in my family. My mom had a picture of Mickey Mantle on the refrigerator door, you know, and watched when the games were televised, she watched them as avidly as anybody else and still does. She's 89 years old, still a hardcore Yankees fan, just watches every game she possibly can. And I actually was visiting her last fall when the World Series were on, and we watched the World Series together that the Yankees won. So it was just like this connected thing in my family where we all came together in this one passion that we all shared. And
My mother definitely loved the Yankees and she was a fan. She wasn't just aware of them. She, you don't disturb her while she's listening to a game.
Because you're connected with the people. I mean, Jim Weidel brought this point up at the soiree that women, there is a kind of gender difference in how people tend to relate to baseball, that the boys and the men tend to watch it for the skills and, you know, like, whoa, check out that fastball and look at this. And whereas the women, and this is certainly the case for me and my mom, get very attached to specific people on the team, and you have your favorite guys and you want to know their whole stories, and you're really excited when they have their wife has a new baby, and they're, you know, you follow all the human interest sides of the whole game.
And I would slip away and go walk in the woods. I got in trouble once when I was about 12 because our neighbors were having a pickup softball game on their lawn, and they wanted me not to feel left out, and oh, please, please come and play baseball with us. And I had no desire to stand around and wait for my turn to swing at the ball. I wanted to do something. Even during that time when I wasn't at bat, I actually wanted to do something. And so I was on my way over, and I thought, you know, everybody's making this big fuss about me not having fun. And I thought, what I would really have the most fun doing was there's this big tree I just discovered in the woods behind the house, and I've never been to the top of it. So I'm going to go see how high up that tree I can get. And that's what I did. And I came home, and everybody was worried about me because I wasn't playing baseball with everybody. And I thought I was that their concern was that I wasn't going to have fun, and I had come up with a much better solution to that particular challenge, and had a great time, you know, discovering the top of this particular pine tree. And so it was, I don't know, I don't think I was antisocial. I just wanted, my mind was active. I wanted something going on, and watching people I knew swinging at balls, it wasn't like we were actually, I don't know what it was. There was something missing in playing that game. No one actually cared who was going to win because it was always the older kids winning and the younger kids losing and then people making jokes about it and the older kids roughing up the younger kids because that's what the older kids like to do. But
that kind of thing is the family bonding kind of thing, mm-hmm. or the community yes. bonding kind of thing. And right. you've yeah. had your own sort of life at the edge of society, I yeah, think. Yeah. Yeah. But the other thing, and this is what was compelling to me, and what you said was the guy thing, that's the beauty in the perfection of achievement. The
skills, mm-hmm. yeah.
And that was, yeah. and that's why I ended up being a lone track person, because mm-hmm. you're competing against yourself. It's not mm-hmm. a team sport. You're just trying to perfect yeah. your skill to a finer and finer degree.
Yeah, well, that's what yeah. my dad was into, was track and field.
And so the I find it completely beautiful in a game when it all works, you know, mm-hmm. when a team pulls yeah. it off and a whole right, team yeah. of guys can make everything work with nothing and especially when you've got two teams, when the defensive and the offensive thing are doing their thing just perfectly, mm-hmm. then it's like a dance. It's beauty to
me. Yeah, and that's what, like Thomas More, the guy who wrote Care of the Soul, he wrote this book called The Reenchantment of Everyday Life, and he has a chapter in it about sports where he talks about how every culture has some form of sports, every era of history, there's some, and that the reason why it's so
Gladiators, was that one of them?
Yes, he didn't really talk about the gladiators, but he said that it's a microcosm of all of life itself, because you mm-hmm. have the neutral playing field, you have the opposing forces interacting with each other, you have the blend of strategy and chance, you have all of the full range of human emotions, you have wins and losses all the time, you know, one day you win, one day you lose, and so forth. And that if, as a spectator watching this happen on a playing field, you're as if seeing how life operates in some little nugget form mm-hmm. with this very distinct beginning and a very distinct point of completion. And then the same thing happens again the next day. The teams go, you know, different teams, and they're doing the same thing. So you're witnessing the drama of life. You can be totally involved in it. Your own emotions can get involved in it. But at the same time, you have a detachment because you know it's going to be over, and then another game will happen the next day. So his take on it is that it's a very healthy and necessary thing for people to do in any group, tribal group, sort of, or society.
I wonder if there are limits to that benefit, because as I look at American society these days, I see a lot of very important issues being dealt with like sports mm-hmm. and getting absolutely nowhere, because it's rah-rah, my team's better than your team. Mm-hmm. It's not. I wonder if there's some aspect of what you're vision of this social situation is that might be useful from my perspective. Mm-hmm. There's no sharing of ideas. There's this red state, blue state nonsense mm-hmm. that all the politicians and all of those lobbyists who buy and own Washington and all of the, you know, media who pump out their drivel over the TV constantly, these things are all designed to foment the teamness of it. Mm-hmm. And the my team versus your team. It's two, and they're versus one another, and it doesn't actually lead to anything. Mm-hmm. It would be nice if the phone stopped by itself, but I can't do anything about it. So I'm ignoring it without actually ignoring it. So the real question to me is, I think the sports mentality has a downside to it. I think
yeah,
it teaches people
does.
That it's all a game and that winning is everything and that there's got to be some way to get what you need from, you know, manipulating the other team, and that the other team is bad. And there's certainly, you don't need to have communication between teams. There's no reason why two football teams need to talk about anything. Basically, they parade out onto the field and scowl at each other to make sure that everyone understands that they're not going to take anything from each other. So I don't know. Is it, yes, it trains us, it teaches us some of the elements of life on Earth, but I think it also hides some really important elements and devalues them and perhaps overvalues some of the less less critical elements of being human. It makes you more of a piece of a big puzzle and less of an individual.
Well, I'm wondering if this game itself has changed, sports has changed, the modern times, because it's like winning is all that counts. And there was sort of a mythical concept that it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game and that kind of thing. And I think there was more of that in the past.
There was more of it.
I think there was more of a respect of the two sides for one another. And that the pitting of the excellence on one side against excellence on the other side, and the appreciation of both sides for the adversary, was a different kind of a relationship. I'm guessing this is a mythic concept.
Yeah, no, I think that's actually true. And it's also so much more about money now. It's just like this huge millions and millions of dollars that, you know, when a player, because I think in the past players tended to stay in their own area, you know, stay on the same team for a lot longer. There wasn't all of the trading of players just for how they can make the most money and so forth. So it's all of that. But what I liked about reading Thomas More's take on it was that you hear more of the kind of thing you were just saying, Alan, against, you know, anti-sports industry and all that. And I liked hearing the other side, the other vantage point, that there is a deeper, more positive aspect.
You hear more of
the negative. Yeah, you
really?
Actually do.
From whom? I never hear it at all.
Well, that depends on your. I think in our community, you do.
I guess, but because I hung out with artists.
Sports,
I don't hear anybody saying anything against sports.
Oh, well, I suppose because many of my friends have not been sports fans, and that people that I would hang out with in art school or other periods of my life.
Right, but that's a very unique niche that you've been.
It seems to me the vast majority of American culture is like really into sports.
But her art school and meditation group culture.
Most of the people I've known in my adult life.
It was almost out of fashion to like sports amongst that very thin layer of society.
Because even the people I know who aren't into sports don't seem to be against sports. They just aren't into watching them.
No, once I became
practically everyone I know is into sports.
That's interesting because once practically I became everybody I know is
once I became a hippie,
I am.
I would bad mouth sports because it became
fashionable to not like sports.
I'm not interested in the fashion of it, though. I'm concerned about the impact of it, and I think that when you listen to political commentary on television, especially if there's an election, which is now becoming a permanent thing, that there is always an election and everything is the strategy for the election. But essentially, it's all sports analogies. It's all sports metaphors. It's all sports insights and sports interest. You're not interested in what the guy has to say. You're interested in what he's going to do to maneuver in such a way as to counter the maneuver of the other guy, because there are only two guys, and winning is the only possible outcome. And someone will win and someone will lose. And everything that's worth talking about in the political discourse is eliminated in favor of a very sports-like commentary.
But do you ever listen to actual sports news programs on television?
I do, and it drives me crazy because all yelled at the top of their lungs. They can't talk about sports. They have to yell about sports.
That's so funny. And because my response is completely different.
But they do yell. You can't find a sportscaster on television who doesn't yell. They're all yelling. And if you're excited about what they're yelling about, then you can accept that. If you don't happen to know anything about lacrosse, then it isn't all that interesting to have somebody yelling about it. If they're not talking to me anyway, they're talking to people who like lacrosse. Mm-hmm. When I watch tennis, I find it interesting because I like to play tennis. But it's not like I have some problem with sports. I'm looking at a problem that I think is on a different level. It's the role of these activities in society that interests me. I think that in school, I found it a little bit dismaying that they spent 8 times as much money on sports as they did on school, because school was rapidly becoming a sports activity with classrooms in the morning. And I think that's a wrong emphasis. I think people should be taught a lot more stuff than how to dribble a ball and how to be a team player and stuff like that. I just think that we really have that one aspect of sports, and I totally support, as I said, the idea of spending the day at Yankee Stadium and being with all the people and then the excitement of this gladiatorial event that takes all day to happen. And it's exciting and engaging. And it brings people together, but I think it also promulgates a certain set of values that has been revered over the years. I mean, when I was growing up, it was all a well-rounded student, and you had to go out for sports, and you had to be reasonably proficient at them, or you weren't a full person. And I think that has also led to some other values that you know, we need to approach things the way we do in sports, and that from what I see in the mass media, it's leading us in an unproductive direction.
I suppose that's the thing, is I don't actually pay much attention to the mass media. I'm mainly getting my opinions from, like, just having discussions with actual people, and most of the people that I've talked to in my family or other friends, their relationship to sports is more positive.
You've been listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.